WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In his will, Benny Goodman left all his arrangements and master tapes to the Yale Music Library. Yale hired Goodman's own musicologist, Lauren Schoenberg, to supervise the Goodman archives and select unreleased recordings to be issued on CD. Two volumes have been released on the Music Masters label. The music of Benny Goodman and the swing era have long been a passion of the 30-year-old Schoenberg. Schoenberg is the orchestra manager and deputy conductor of the American Jazz Orchestra, founded by jazz critic Gary Giddens. Schoenberg also plays tenor saxophone and leads his own big band. Lauren Schoenberg and his jazz orchestra are dedicated to performing the lesser-known works originally performed by Goodman, Henderson, Ellington, Basie, and other big bands. Schoenberg's new record, Solid Ground, opens with Billy Strayhorn's Midriff. Tell me why you chose this arrangement of Billy Strayhorn's Midriff.
Well, it's funny that you asked that question in that way, because actually it's really not an arrangement of Midriff. Midriff is a composition in and of itself, in the same way that you really wouldn't have an arrangement of Beethoven's Fifth. In other words, Beethoven's Fifth is a specific piece of work composed by a great composer. In the same way, Midriff is not really an arrangement of a tune as much as it's a composition. And it's funny. I first heard Midriff on a RCA Ellington LP that came out in the 60s. It's a relatively obscure Ellington / Strayhorn item. And as I delved into the piece, I found out that there were many different recordings and that all the commercial recordings that had been done were really abridged versions for one reason or another. And when I went back and found the original recordings, which were non-commercial concert recordings, I found that the composition in its entirety was really just a fascinating structure. And right around the same time, I came back to New York from England to make this record, and I had a friend transcribe it off the record, and that's why we did it. I think it's a great piece, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, it's catchy.
Now, you're too young to have heard the Ellington Band play this in person. You're not doing this for nostalgia. You're not doing this to bring back memories of your youth.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad you said that. No, I'm not doing it to bring back memories of my youth. But more importantly, I'm not doing it to bring back memories of anyone's youth.
What do you say to people who ask, why are you re-recording things when we already have the original? We already have Fletcher Henderson's recording of that or Duke Ellington's recording of that.
Well, there's two reasons. First of all, frequently a lot of these great masterpieces were not recorded in the best fidelity. And second of all, I really feel that my band's interpretations of them are very valid. And I mean, as a board member of the Duke Ellington Society and as having played with a lot of Ellington musicians, I mean, I wouldn't be ashamed to have my record of After All played up against the original. We're not trying to duplicate the original. This is our interpretation of it. It's a great piece of music, and I don't think you do the music any favor by saying that it could only be interpreted by the original people that played it, because then it's some kind of folk music, you know?
Start listening to jazz?
My father had some old 78s when I was a little kid of the Jolson story, the Decca album. And that led me to become an Al Jolson fan, which was strange, I'll admit. And then that led me to movies. And then that led me to Dick Powell and the great musicals of the 30s. And that kind of led me to Benny Goodman. And that kind of led me into jazz. That's how it happened for me.
Benny Goodman has been very important in your own musical development. How did you first meet him?
I first met Benny Goodman in the early 70s, and I was in New York with my folks who had taken me in. We'd gone to hear the great Teddy Wilson, and Teddy had to take off early that night, and we asked him why, and he said, well, he was going to play with the Benny Goodman Quartet. And to make a long story short, I kind of tagged along and ran up and introduced myself to Benny Goodman. And I think he was kind of curious about that there was a 14-year-old out there who was a Benny Goodman fan, because there weren't many. So that's how he first became aware of me. And then shortly thereafter, there was an exhibit at the New York Jazz Museum. And I was a volunteer there at that time, and there was an exhibit on Benny Goodman, and he came in, and there was an old picture, you know, it was a scene from a movie, you know, there was a picture on the wall, and he said, ooh, who are all those people? You know, he didn't know who they were. And I said, oh, you know, and very obnoxiously, probably, you know, named everybody and the date and all that kind of stuff. So I was showing off, and I guess that made a little mark in his mind, but my association with him of later years really, I don't think, had much to do with those two occurrences.
Later on, he hired you to do some work for him.
Yeah, he hired me in 1980 to kind of be a musicologist. He was donating some of his arrangements to Lincoln Center, and he needed someone to like write the accompanying literature to the donation of these arrangements. And so that's why he hired me originally, and that turned into becoming eventually kind of a secretary and then personal assistant and then personal manager, all of which was totally separate from my music career at that point.
You have two arrangements from Benny Goodman's band that you play on your new album. One of them is Blue Monk, the Thelonious Monk composition, as arranged by Gary McFarlane for, I think, what, a 1962 Benny Goodman tour of the Soviet Union?
That's right, and it was never really played or much by Benny, right?
Now, why did you choose this one?
Well, when Benny went to Russia in 1962, he had a great modern jazz band to go with him. And he hired the best of the young writers on the jazz scene at that point to write a tremendous book for him. Well, because of what the Russian public really had in their mind as Benny Goodman music and probably a whole bunch of other circumstances, he didn't wind up playing most of that modern music. He wound up going back to his more famous music of the 30s and 40s. So consequently, there was all this great music in his archives and his library that had really never been played. It had just been rehearsed in 62. It was written with Benny in mind, so it's still relatively straight ahead, but yet these guys were more adventurous than all the other arrangers.
Take your band on the road for the first time later in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You can travel by bus?
Yes, we're going to fly to Cleveland, and we are going to get on a bus, and we're going to go from Elyria, Ohio, to Akron, to Chicago, to Jefferson, Wisconsin, to Rochester, Minnesota, to Terre Haute. We're going to be all out there in April. And we're going to bus it. But you know, the funny thing, Terry, is that the tour is just going to be 12 days. And that's just long enough so that we'll get really to play well together and everything will gel and really be great, but not long enough so that we're going to wind up hating each other, because, I mean, you just can't be on the same bus with the same people for week on end without all kinds of funny things happening.
Well, Lauren, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.